Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
So the topic of today's session is Ramadan has more than 27 days. No, I'm just joking. But
I actually have a really funny story for you. So I was in a WhatsApp group with some uncles who play golf, and I play golf because I'm white. And so I was in a group with them, and there were some uncles who were like, yeah, does anyone want to play golf today or whatever, you know, quick round before I thought. And one of the uncles was like, no, I don't want to do that. It's Ramadan. And he was like, I just don't feel right. It doesn't feel right, you know, Ramadan. So some of the uncles were like, wow, that's amazing, mashallah. Like, damn, man, we respect it, you know? And he was like, yeah, inshallah, after the 27th night, I'll play. I actually had the screenshot. It's so good. It's so, so good, subhanAllah. So that's a real thing. It's a real thing.
It is. So alhamdulillah, Usad and I specifically spoke about, somebody's just asking in the comments, are you going to be at Frisco Masjid tonight? I don't know. That's a good question.
A great question.
It's an existential question.
Yeah. Is Frisco going to be hosting you tonight, Sheikh? That's the real question.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
All right.
Don't ask what Sheikh can do for Frisco. Ask what Frisco can do for Sheikh.
So, Ustad and I spoke earlier about the fact that, you know, we want to remain consistent throughout the end of the month of Ramadan just to get the blessings and to be able to, you know, keep providing the opportunity to reflect and to, you know, connect with Allah and the Book of Allah through the end of the month of Ramadan, even though we're past, you know, the 27th night and all the excitement and all the, you know, the energy that comes with it, which is all good, but we just got to make sure that we see it through. Sheikh Mikhail gave a really good analogy that day. He said that, you know, runners, they talk about running through the finish line, not running to the finish line. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really good. So, all right. So with that, inshallah, I'm going to just kind of set the premise, share the verse, the translation, then ask Ustad to share some reflections on it, inshallah. In Surah number 3, Surah Ali Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 8, ayah number 8. Okay, so Surah 3, ayah 8. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, he actually tells us that what the believers say. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the believers, he's describing the believers to us. And just real quickly, not so it doesn't take too long to set it up. In the previous verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the believers are yaquluna amanna bihi. They say, we believe in the Quran, kullu min 'indi rabbina, that all of this is from our Lord, wa ma yadhakkaru illa ulul albab. And Allah says that only those reflect who have intelligence. And then Allah continues on in verse number 8, telling us, what do the believers say? Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab, which translates to, our Lord, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. Grant us your mercy, for you indeed are the ever giving. And just as a little, because it's a, you know, a more brief verse, person's apologizing. I need to apologize to you. I have a very unfortunate sense of humor. You are correct. I will be at Frisco tonight, inshallah. As soon as I finish this, I will be departing for Frisco. So inshallah, worry not. Okay. So getting back to this, Ustad, before you share your reflections, it's a little known fact amongst us that I'm very fond of the translation of the Quran by Marmaduke Pickthall. Mm-hmm. I just have to read his translation because it's so good. Okay. Our Lord, cause not our hearts to stray after thou hast guided us, and bestow upon us mercy from thy presence. Lo, thou only, thou art the bestower. Wow. It's beautiful. It's like poetry. It's like poetry. Perfect. So Ustad, if you could share some thoughts on this.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. This comes from a selected group of category within the Quran, not known necessarily amongst like the scholars of tafsir, but something that more contemporarily was put together of the Rabbana du'as. So there's basically verses upon verses in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is revealing to us du'as by which people have called upon or should call upon him. And it's very interesting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is essentially teaching us the correct method and the correct way to seek from him when he gives us du'as from the Quran. And these Rabbana du'as are very, you know, powerful in their own way. This is one of my you know, all-time favorites in terms of the one that I just think about when I make du'a myself, is that a person, when they call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever you're asking about any gift or any blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, one of the most important things in order to establish gratitude, which is the foundation of your iman, is to understand that it is not something that you deserve, it is not something that you have any right to, and it's not something that you control. All right, so my rizq, for example, as I ask Allah for rizq, I have to understand I don't deserve it because of my training or because of my hard work or because of this. That's fine. I'm not entitled to it. I don't demand it from Allah. I also realize that this blessing from Allah is something that he very well could remove from my life if he wishes. And I approach Allah with that humility that allows me to beseech him and ask him in a way that does not have that arrogant sense of entitlement with it. So with anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, coming to him with that sense of humility is one of the surefire ways to make sure that your du'as are beautiful and beautifully executed. So you see here, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا, that, O Allah, do not let our hearts go astray. بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا, after you have given us guidance or guided us, وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, and gift us and give us the grant us the gift from your storage, from yourself, rahmah, mercy. This part of the dua is admitting all of those three things that we just talked about. That, oh Allah, the guidance that you gave us was not something that I earned. It was not something that I, by the virtue of my hard work or anything that I did, It was not something that, you know, why am I Muslim and why is somebody else not Muslim? It has nothing to do with any sort of merit or anything that I did. It was purely a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? If even if I am sincere and I seek out guidance, it still doesn't mean that I necessarily did enough to obtain it. Am I somebody who's worthy of it? Am I somebody who deserves it? Right? The answer is not necessarily, right? Because I'm guided and I still make mistakes every single day. So I have to understand that this is a gift. And when this is a gift, you ask Allah, oh Allah, don't take this gift away from me. Right? Don't allow my heart to fall off of the straight path after you have given me access to it. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. And then when a person understands that this is a gift that they did not deserve, they did not, then they understand where this is all coming from. And their entire dua, their entire, you know, request, it just starts to fold into this humble form. Oh Allah, you're the one that has mercy. I cannot find mercy in this world from anyone else besides you. مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Like, I need it from you. There's no other form of mercy, oh Allah, that I need. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابِ. You are the one who grants us whatever it is that we have. You are the one who gives us the gifts that we have. You are the one who gives them, and you expect nothing in return, right? The gifts that you give us, there's no condition, there's no attachment to those gifts. And, you know, this dua in particular, one thing that, you know, this verse and the dua that's in the verse in particular, one thing that it should do is it should really make the heart of the believer feel incredibly grateful. But for me, it's also a little bit nervous, right? I feel a little bit nervous because I want to make sure that I'm not doing anything or living my life in a way that is giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the indication that I'm not grateful for what he has given me. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous hadith where he mentioned, you know, قلب المؤمن بين أصبعين من أصابع الرحمن, that the heart of the believer is in between the two of the fingers of the fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, obviously here, we're not talking literal fingers because Allah ta'ala is beyond any corporeal body. But what it means essentially is if something's between your fingers, what does it mean? Like completely in your control, right? If I'm holding this like between my two fingers, or if I have it here like this, this is something that's completely in my control, right? So the hadith, if you want to understand it correctly, is that the heart of the Muslim is completely in control from Ar-Rahman, from the one who is the most merciful. So the only way that a person should feel a sense of security is if they have a good relationship with Ar-Rahman. If I am constantly neglecting him and constantly avoiding my responsibilities to him, then I can't expect to wake up every day with that same belief that I've been given, right? If someone gave me $1 million and I didn't take care of it and I just kept spending it and spending it and spending it without worrying about it, then one day I'm going to wake up with no money, right? And so you wake up with hidayah, you wake up with iman, you wake up with guidance. If I keep living my life without thinking about it, replenishing it, taking care of it, then one day I might wake up without anything. And that's why you had the dua, Ya Munqalib al Qulub, Thabbit Qalbi ala Deenik. That, oh Allah, the turner of the hearts, then please make firm my heart upon your religion. Because the true believer understands that ultimately they don't control this. They don't control that. As much as you want to have control over your heart and what you believe or what you think, you don't. You don't. And so you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften your heart towards this faith, towards faith in general. And that all comes from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this dua should be something that, like, we recite pretty much every day. This should be something that we say before we go to sleep every night. We should thank Allah for guidance, because guidance is the thing that allows us to see right from wrong. It allows us to know up from down, left from right. It gives us all of our perspective, our lens by which we view the entire world. And so if we're not making dua for Allah to strengthen our guidance, to keep our guidance with us, to not let our hearts neglect our guidance, then maybe we're not thinking about it enough and taking care of it enough. So this dua and this verse is very, very important. Sheikh, I'll let you share some reflections, inshallah, before we close off.
Yeah, I mean, you touched on everything. It just really occurred to me because we're on the 28th night of Ramadan. And I was like, this dua is so perfect. Right? in the Quran, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the word hadaytana, hidayah, is used, the concept of hidayah, it's very interesting. You have two terms. Excuse me. You have hidayah and dalala, guidance and misguidance. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about guidance, he says, ala hudam, right? That they are upon guidance. Right? Yeah, exactly. And so they're upon guidance. When Allah talks about misguidance, he talks about fi dalalin mubin, right? Ala hudan versus fi dalalin, right? They are upon guidance as opposed to inside of misguidance. And so there's something very powerful there, right? Because when you're upon guidance, like, you can see more clearly. And when you are in misguidance, it's like you're trapped and you're enclosed and you can't see. So what's really powerful and beautiful about this is that, you know, it's saying, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. I've always felt like the analogy here is almost like a train on its tracks. Do not derail our hearts after you have guided us. So you're on the tracks, you're on the train of guidance, and you're heading full speed ahead, right, towards success, towards, right, Allah's forgiveness, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fafirru ila Allah. We were talking about this last night. And then now we're saying, oh Allah, but don't derail us. So last night, many people probably had a beautiful experience last night. All right? So after having such a powerful, beautiful experience, it's so important to then be able to say, and oh Allah, I never want to lose what I experienced last night, you know. And that's why it says, وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَنِ. The only thing that will keep me going is your mercy, O Allah. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَبْ. And the reason why I'm not embarrassed to ask, you've given me so much. But the reason why I'm not embarrassed to ask is because you are the bestower of gifts. You are the ever-giving. You are the bestower. And so if there's anyone that I can keep asking, it's you, Ya Allah. So I just felt that it would be a very appropriate dua and supplication, because whenever you have such a powerful spiritual experience, you don't want to, you know, obviously not every moment is the same. We talked about this at the beginning of Ramadan, sa'atan fa sa'atan. But at the same time, you don't want to have, like, also, you also don't want to feel like you fell off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you just fell right back into a free fall. You know, so this dua is something that can help us, you know, stay on the correct path, inshallah.
Yeah. And I know that somebody was mentioning, just a side note, in the comments, that the Masjid al-Aqsa right now is undergoing another attack from the Israelis. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect his house, Masjid al-Aqsa, the first Qibla. We ask Allah ta'ala to protect the Palestinian people. I'm actually looking at the video right now, subhanAllah. It was posted 4 minutes ago.
Really?
Yeah, so we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect them and to grant them victory and to destroy the oppressors. I mean, Ya Rabbi, it's there's no words. Quite literally, there's no words. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect those people. Ya Rabbi, our brothers and sisters.
It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. You know, the Palestinian people, they're descendants and children of the Sahaba of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, there were so many families of the companions that migrated to Al-Quds and that entire region. And that's literally, you know, Al-Ard Al-Muqaddasa. It is the sacred land. It is the holy land. Allah calls it that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the Biladul Anbiya. It's the land of the prophets. And they are a really beautiful, noble people that have beautifully upheld a lot of the traditions and the history and the sites and the landmarks of, you know, that land and that area. And, you know, it's such a tragedy to witness, and it's so heartbreaking to witness the oppression that they've, you know, suffered for generations, it is now. And, you know, subhanAllah, it's like this ugly beast keeps rearing its head. And it seemed we're back here again and witnessing not just the oppression, but then the desecration of the one of the three holiest places on earth. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Ustad said, may Allah preserve them, protect them, grant them honor and dignity and victory.
Ameen.
Ya Rabbil Alameen. So,
inshallah, this night.
Please.
I'm just keeping an eye on the situation, keeping an eye for them, please.
Absolutely.
Ya Allah.
And, go ahead.
I was going to say, we'll go ahead and conclude then, I guess.
Yeah, we'll conclude here, and as Ustad said, inshallah, Ramadan's not over, and these precious hours are not gone yet. So let's all of us, turn sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, in supplication, in invocation, beg and beseech our Lord to grant that land dignity and freedom and safety and protection.
I mean,
Jazakumullah khairan, everyone.
Assalamu alaikum.